For our short reflection this morning, please turn with me to the first lesson read to us this morning from the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we once again give all glory and honor to you. Father, as we meditate upon your word, we ask you to speak to us this morning. Lord, speak to us very personally and empower us with the power of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel is one of the prominent characters in the Old Testament. He's well known to each one of us. He was taken to Babylon as a captive and was made to serve in the king's royal court. In Babylon, he was given a new name, a Chaldean name, Belshazzar. As per the available historical biblical records, Daniel was in his early 70s when he was taken as a captive, just 17-year-old boy. A young man taken to a foreign country as captive. Daniel, a young man who lost his family, his nation, his friends and relatives. So today I just want to bring your attention to how did this young Daniel respond to this terrible situation? And how did he live in an alien land? And how he became a role model for all of us, even today? The first thing I found in Daniel's life, Daniel was a man with hope. He remained calm and quiet and brave. In the foreign country as a captive. And he accepted the reality that he is in captivity. And he remained in hope of a deliverance someday. So while other Israelites, those who were brought to Babylon as captives, they were mourning, crying, and cursing, and blaming. They were blaming themselves. They were blaming others. They were cursing others in their deep anger. That's clearly pictured in Psalm 137. There, Psalm says, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept. We sat and wept. They were crying. Then they're saying that, remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. Then they cursed the Babylon, saying that, daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. And again, they're coming up with very harsh words. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. See the way they respond to this situation. They are filled with anger. And they are blaming themselves for their fate. And they are blaming others. And then they're cursing all around them. But here, this man, the young Daniel, the 17-year-old boy, or young boy, he was calm, quiet. He was brave in an alien land. as we just heard, this is the way the faithless responds to the harsh realities of the life. They blame themselves, they blame others, they curse others. But young Daniel remained calm. That doesn't mean that he had no pain or he was enjoying the new comforts. No, not at all. Being a captive, he too had the deep pain in his heart, but he accepted the reality that he was a captive. And he accepted the reality that he is a captive under a mighty king. Nebuchadnezzar, one of the mighty kings. And he knows that by his own strength, he can never get back to his homeland. Because Nebuchadnezzar is mighty, so powerful. So he decided to wait upon the Lord for the divine intervention. He was not crying, he was not mourning, as others do. He was not cursing anyone. He was not blaming anyone. Rather, he was waiting upon the Lord for a divine intervention. So how do we respond to the difficult times in our life or the hard realities of our life? Are we blaming ourselves, saying that, oh, it's my fate? Often people say, oh, it's my fate. I'm going through this struggle. It's my fate. Or sometimes we accuse someone else. It's because of that person, because of that family, I'm in suffering. We may curse someone else. Or are we ready to wait upon the Lord, like this young Daniel? He was a man with hope. He believed that one day or other, the God whom I worship, the God whom my forefathers serve, he will deliver me out of this captivity. With that hope, he was waiting. So Daniel was a man of hope. And the second thing I noticed, Daniel was a man with strong determination. A man with strong determination. See, in Babylon, he was offered, in the new place, he was offered with so many new comforts, luxuries of the life. So many pleasures of the life. When compared to the other common Israelites, Daniel was offered so many new things. See, the common Israelites, those who were in captives, they were asked to live in temporary tents stretched across the bank of River Kebar. Temporary tents. Dirty tents. But here, Daniel, he was offered a residence in King's royal court. See? Others were living in a temporary tent by the river bank of the river Kebar, while he was offered a residence in the royal court. The other Israelites had to eat the dry barley loaves 3 times a day. Dry bread, barley loaves. That was their food for the common Israelites. But here, the Daniel, he was offered royal rations of food and wine from King's court. Delicious cuisine. Enough meat, fruit, vegetables, everything was offered for Daniel. The other Israelites, they had to do slavery work, very hard work, from morning till evening, without any rest. They were forced to do work. But Daniel was assigned to learn Chaldean literature and language. no hard work for him. No need to expose to the sun. A comfortable place. The other Israelites had to wear dirty sackcloths. That was their only dressing, sackcloths. But Daniel was offered with the best linen attires. See the difference. This was offer that he received in Babylon, the new place. Everything looks so attractive, amazing. And he has the best offers before him that many long to have. So wouldn't it be a wise choice for Daniel to accept these offers? What do you think? He is in a foreign country, away from family, away from relatives, friends, and there is nobody to notice him. And he has the complete personal freedom to make his own choice. He has complete freedom to do whatever he wants, to eat whatever he wants, because he's far away from his homeland, from the sight of his parents, sight of his relatives. He has the complete personal freedom. Suppose you would have been in Daniel's place, what would you do? That's a very interesting question. But in verse 28, there we read, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to be defile himself this way. He decided, he resolved not to defile himself. That's why I consider Daniel as a man with a strong determination. Why was he determined to not to defile himself? What was the reason? It was only because he had a very strong faith in God, the God whom his forefathers showed him. And he had a very deep personal relationship with the Yahweh, the God whom he worshipped. The God whom he worshipped from his childhood. And he has a very strong, deep, personal relationship with this God. That's why he determined not to defile himself, even though he is in a foreign country, even though he is out of sight of everyone, even though he has the personal freedom to choose whatever he wants. He decided not to defile himself because of his relationship with this God whom he worshipped. So, the young Daniel, challenges us today. He challenges us today to live a life worthy of our call. As a young man or woman, you may come across thousands of offers, thousands of pleasing offers that sounds soothing to your ears, warming to your heart. But I just want to remind you, be determined to walk in the ways of the Lord. Daniel was a man with such a strong determination. So when we do so, sometimes you may be mocked or criticized by others. there is an chance for that. When we decide ourselves to not to defile ourselves, sometimes people may mock us, criticize us. Sometimes we can criticize Daniel. What a foolish man he is. He should have accepted the king's offer. So when you and I decide to stay away, to stay, remain, you know, holy, or keep away from certain things, or not to defile ourselves with the pleasures of the world, you may be mocked or criticized. It can happen. But know that even though you are mocked, criticized, God will not forsake you. God will not forsake you. In verse 9, there we read, "Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel." See, that's the way God dealing. When you stand for God, He will also stand for you. So God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. So when we decide to stand for the Lord, He will open the new ways. And He will never let our heads go down. Daniel was a man with strong determination in his life. He decided not to defile himself. And the third thing I noticed in Daniel's life, Daniel was a man with a vibrant spiritual life. Vibrant spiritual life. When we read through the text, whole text of the book of Daniel, that we know, we understand that Daniel never let the circumstance weaken his spiritual life. He had to face a lot of difficulties. He had to go through different hardships in his life, but he never allowed the circumstance to weaken his spiritual life. So when many other fellow Israelites, they dropped their songs, they dropped their prayer, they dropped even the faith in Yahweh. In verse 2 onwards, in Psalm 137, there we read, "There on the willows we hung our harps." They stopped their songs. "For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.' How can we sing the songs of Lord while in a foreign land?" So they dropped their songs. They dropped their worship. They dropped their prayer. They dropped their faith. But the young Daniel, he kept his spiritual life so vibrant, so alive. Now, this same thing can happen to you and me when we go through the hard realities of life. We may stop praying. We may stop going to church. We may stop worshiping God. We may stop reading the Word of God. We may stop having fellowship with others. We may break up the relationship with God, with the fellow beings. This can happen in the midst of our struggles and pains and tribulations. But this man, Daniel, he kept his spiritual life alive and vibrant even in a foreign country. Even in a country where his God was, the living God was not worshipped. Even in a country where there was no fellowship of the believers coming together and worshiping. There was no celebration of the Passover. There was no celebration of the atonement or Pentecost. Nothing was there. But even in that foreign country, this man kept his spiritual life so alive and vibrant. Not only that, he boldly witnessed the living God Yahweh. See, something wonderful. In verse 28, there we read, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come." When he was asked to interpret the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, when he was brought before the king, this man, Daniel, he stands boldly in front of the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, a devotee of the god Baal, a strong devotee of the god Baal. And he says, "But there is a God in heaven." King Nebuchadnezzar, it is not your God, it is not the God you worship, it is not the Baal, but there is a living God in heaven whom I worship. He was such a strong man, bold enough to stand in front of an alien king and witnessing his God. Is it not amazing? Is it not challenging? And he kept his spiritual life so live and vibrant. And now, coming back to the verse 10 of chapter 6. "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." We know what decree was passed. The decree was passed to put this man in the lion's den. To put Daniel in lion's den. Decree was passed. King signed the decree. And we must know something interesting, that at this time, when Daniel was about to put into Daniel's lion's den, when the decree was passed, he was 80 years old. Okay, don't forget that. He started his life in Babylon when he was 17, and now he is 80 years old. 80 years old, old Daniel. Not the young man. That means he was in captivity for 63 years in Babylon, in an alien country. 63 years. Throughout these years, the long 63 years, even now, he kept his life so vibrant. His spiritual life was so vibrant, so live and powerful. That's something we must notice. When all other Israelites, they even forget Yahweh. They began to worship Baal. They began to give offering to Baal. They began to attend the feast of Baal. They offered even their children to Baal. But this man, all through these years, 63 years, he was still serving the living God. It's really amazing. And when the decree was passed, he said, he went home, his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God. And the last sentence that really striking me, saying that, just as he had done before. Just as he had done before. It's not because of hearing that a decree is passed. It's not because of fear of the lion in the den. No, it was his daily routine. It was his practice for last 60, 3 years in this foreign country. That simply means his relationship with God, his prayer life, it was a daily routine for Daniel. He was such a man with a vibrant spiritual life. That's why I told in the beginning, this man, Daniel, challenging us even today. Do we have hope when we are in a hopeless situation? Do we have the determination to not to defile ourselves with the pleasures of this world? Or are we yielding to the temptations of this world? Do we have a vibrant life, spiritual life? Being Christian for last so many years, 50, 60, 20, 10, whatever it may be, let me ask you a question. Do you have a vibrant spiritual life? A vibrant prayer life? If not, this man, Daniel, he's challenging us today. Just as he's done before. So let us have such a deep relationship with the God whom we worship. When we decide to stand for God, he will raise up us. No, don't need to worry about anything. He will stand with us. He will open new ways. And we need to have such a powerful life to continue in our spiritual journey in this world where there is a lot of challenges, a lot of temptations around us. There are so many offers before us. We need to have a strong determination to stand with God and with his word. And may the good Lord bless each one of us. Amen.